Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. There's a story told about a preacher who was called to preach at a prison, and he was told just before he preached that there were two men there that would hear his lesson that would be executed the next week. And he thought, what kind of sermon must I preach that will surely be the last sermon that they will hear? Let me ask you, friend, if you had the entire world before you to hear you for just one lesson, what would you preach? There's always the possibility that the sermon that I preach could be my last one. But realize, too, the possibility that of the sermon you hear will be the last one that you can hear. Now, there are certain major points that we would want to include if we knew this was going to be our last discourse about the gospel. I want to teach those who are lost the way of salvation. I would start by telling my hearers that anyone outside of Christ is lost, and that all men sin, Romans 3, and this is what separates us from God, Isaiah 59. The whole world lieth in wickedness, 1 John 5, and sin is the transgression of God's law, 1 John 3. And the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, 1 Peter chapter 3. Furthermore, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps, Jeremiah 10. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, Proverbs 14. No, I would love to let people know that man left to himself, he's hopeless, he's helpless, he's doomed, he's damned, he'll be unable to redeem himself or save himself. He needs a Savior. He is desperately in need of someone to save him from the wages of sin, Romans 6, verse 23. I would then want to proceed out with the glad tidings that God has provided that Savior, and the way of salvation whereby our sins will be forgiven is by our fellowship with God through Christ. And even though God's justice demands that sin be punished, his mercy and his grace and his love demands that we be given the opportunity for salvation. Now, we are undeserving of that, to be sure. We're saved by his grace. That's the favor that God has bestowed upon us, not by our own works of righteousness, Titus chapter 3, but God sent his Son to be man's Savior. The plan of salvation that God devised and included the perfect life of the Son of God, his death on the cross, and by his resurrection. It was an occasion of the just dying for the unjust. In this way, God was both just as well as the justifier of him who would believe in Jesus, Romans chapter 3. Christ is our propitiation. He's the atonement for our sins. Hebrews 2 and verse 9 says, he tasted of death for every man. He died for our sins, and they were nailed to the cross. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We are redeemed by the blood of Christ. And I would also want to emphasize, Jesus is the only access that we have to the Father, John 14:6. There is no other through whom salvation can be enjoyed, Acts 4:12. God has acted on man's behalf through his Son and through his Son's sacrifice. The way of salvation has been provided. The way is now open unto man, and man is invited to come that way. But along this line, we must recognize that his invitation, "Come unto me," can only be accepted by obedience to the gospel. When it is rejected, it will be to our condemnation. He's the author of salvation, Hebrews 5:9, to them that obey him. And while his plea is that whosoever will may come, only those who do come are going to be saved. And salvation is conditioned upon man's response to God's invitation. Scripture warns that God will render vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 1. Man must believe in Christ. He must repent of his sins. He must confess his faith in Christ and be baptized for the remission of sins. And when one is baptized, Paul says he's baptized into Christ. That's where salvation is, 2 Timothy chapter 2. It is then that we reach his shed blood, because we're baptized into his death, Romans chapter 6. And we're raised to walk in a newness of life, with the result of the new birth, John chapter 3. And the Lord adds us to his church, which is the company of the saved, Acts chapter 2. Yes, it seems that no final sermon could possibly be complete without teaching the lost the way of salvation. This is so important to all mankind. But certainly we would want to have words to our own brethren, to stress to them to be faithful, and we must be ready unto every good work. That which we do, of course, must be done according to God's authority. This embraces the whole of one's life. This necessitates spiritual growth and all that is necessary to attain that spiritual growth, in study and work, exercising ourselves unto godliness. We cannot be saved by our own goodness, to be sure, nor of the goodness of other people. But still there is that noble Christian labor that God expects of those who are Christians. And we cannot be content to merely be professed Christians without working the way the Christian is supposed to work. Now, we're not going to be judged as a body. We'll be judged individually. And regardless of what others may say, do, or think, each one has his duty before God. We all need to realize this and discontinue any kind of excuse we might have for not being busy in the Father's business. To be ready unto every good work demands that we make ourselves fit and prepared in advance. We must develop self-discipline, self-control, Christ-like qualities to be able and willing servants of the Lord. And possibly more of us need to learn that we cannot serve God by proxy. It is an individual duty that cannot be shifted to others. Nothing would be more relevant or important to brethren than a rehearsal of the many biblical warnings against falling away. Now, I know that some falsely teach that you can't do that, but the Bible warns continually against that which some say can't happen anyway. Paul said, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall," 1 Corinthians 10. Again, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye or behave you like men," 1 Corinthians 16. There's not an epistle in the New Testament from the inspired pen that does not include warnings against falling away and the admonitions to be faithful. We who are children of God should be constantly reminded that the salvation of others depends upon our obedience to the Lord's command to take the gospel to the whole world. Now, we may not take the world for Christ, but we can take Christ to the world by life, by daily practice, by teaching, by preaching, by word, by deed. We're as to be a city set on a hill, a light unto the world and the salt of the earth. We are to be that peculiar people, different from the evil and the sinister things of the devil in this world, and follow Christ rather than the evils of this world. And in his law we will meditate day and night. And, of course, there would be a third point that we would want to make to one and all. If this were going to be the last lesson that we'd ever preach, or the last lesson that some might ever hear. And that third point would be, let all that you do be done in love. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 14. Now this has to do with the heart of man, the motive behind every deed and every word. It has to do with the inward man, the soul, the spirit, the attitude, the disposition. Proverbs 4 and verse 23 has urged, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Oh, we need to guard the heart. Let love be our motive in the heart for everything that we say and do. Has not Paul taught us that it really makes no difference how many great things we might do if we do not have love in our heart? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We cannot be pleasing to God unless we, like God, have love in the heart. We must have love for God, love for Christ, love for the Holy Spirit, love for His Word, love for His church, love for His people, and love for sinful people of the world, that they might indeed be saved, and love for the brethren in the Lord. Now, love simply means to seek the other's highest good. That's to put the other person before self. It's a deliberate choice of conduct and frame of mind. Love requires the doing of what's needful, whether easy or hard, pleasant or unpleasant. It means doing what is right, being right, acting right, and what a large order and heavy demand that is. But Jesus said, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Again, as John wrote, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Jesus summarized it all by saying, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." But friend, if this was the last sermon I could preach, and some hearers would be the last one that they would hear, I would include the reminder of the call of the Lord, his sweet invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." In Revelation 3 and verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me." Now, I have reviewed what might be points that be included in the last sermon that one might want to preach, and the last sermon that one should want to hear. Someday, of course, every preacher will preach his last sermon, and there is coming a day when every hearer will hear their last lesson from the Word of God. What is it that you would want to hear? Would it not be to want to know what to do to be saved if you are still lost? Would it not be the message to how to stay faithful if you are among the saved? Would it not be to want to know what is my duty as a Christian to be loyal and faithful to Christ, that he might commend me on that last day with "well done, good and faithful servant"? Is that not what we would want, realizing that we're going to be judged and we're going to be measured by the words of Jesus Christ, John 12 and verse 48. Oh, I know sometimes people get tired of hearing sermons, and there are so many things that need to be taught and need to be understood in order to formulate the pattern of life that we will live. But there are some things that stand out that seem to me to be more important than others. The lost man needs to know how to be saved. The saved man needs to know how to remain faithful. And all of us need to have that quality of heart that Jesus admonished, to let everything that we do be motivated by the right kind of motive: love for God, love for the truth, love for things sacred, and love for the people round about us. Certainly a lesson like that would be profitable to those who have the opportunity to hear it. Well, I hope that you might realize that in part you have heard it today, and you will formulate your life around it. We appreciate you listening to A Burning Fire. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.